My guest today is Elizabeth Koch. Born in Atlanta, she has lived in European as well as Asian world capitals and now lives in Beijing. In fact, she is a fashion superstar in China, where her millinery designs landed in Vogue China's 100th issue anniversary special. Elizabeth Koch, welcome to City Lights.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It is great to have you here. First, tell us how you got into making hats.
Well, I've got a long version of that story and a short one. To keep it short, I always loved making things. And I come from a very creative family. My mother's an art teacher. My father's the DIY hero, and he ties his own flies for fly fishing. So I grew up in a very creative atmosphere. If you didn't have it, make it. And I loved making things. I would always make something from when I can remember. Even at the Chastain Arts Center, I would be making pottery and painting. And although I studied something else, I went into studying communications and I did a master's in communications and I worked in banking, it was always something I'd come back to at the end of the day. I'd come home and I would knit and I would draw and I would sew. And I always loved hats. It was kind of on the side. I collected vintage hats. I got hats from my grandmother, from her friends. And, well, I don't know if I should make this too long. Just interrupt me if I'm talking too much.
No.
But when the time came that I had been working for about 5.5 years in the financial sector in Europe, and my husband, well, at the time, my fiance was offered a job abroad. We didn't know exactly where he would go, but I had the opportunity to do something else. So I was kind of forced in that sense to quit my job in Brussels and start something new. And I just thought, I want to try to do something that I really want to do. And if that doesn't work, I'll just find a job back in the financial sector. This was before the financial downturn, 2007. So I thought, I was quite optimistic. And I just thought, what am I going to do? I have to quit my job to move with my husband because we're moving to China for essentially his job. And then I thought, well, I love making things. I love hats. Who makes hats? can you still make hats? Can you learn? Does anybody want to buy hats? Anyway, then I went nuts on internet. What can I do? Where can I learn this? I went to the Womburn School of Millinery in the UK. I quit my job in Brussels. And I thought, this is it. This is my aha moment. I bought all the molds, so these wooden molds that you need.
Ooh.
Threw them in the container last minute before it set sail to the ports of Tianjin.
Well, you know, when you said who makes hats, the British come to mind immediately.
Right, right.
In fact, I once heard a joke in answer to the question, where do British women get their hats? The answer is British women don't get their hats. They have their hats.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
You know, it's just that much a part of the tradition. And the fact that they are called fascinators,
right.
I think that reflects the reverence mm-hmm. they have for them. So
yeah.
that you went to school in the UK mm-hmm. to learn about that
yeah.
isn't all that surprising. How long a program was it?
Well, I'm a bit vague on that subject. It wasn't incredibly long because, as I said, I had already finished a master's degree and I had already worked for a long time. So it was some months. But it's really just the techniques. I was bursting with ideas. And once I hit the ground running as soon as I had finished that.
So your husband's job took you to China.
Right.
Were you looking to fill what you saw as an opening in Beijing for
I hats? Had no idea. I had never been to China in my life. I probably never would have gone if it wasn't for his job opportunity. I arrived to live there. We didn't have a kind of, reconnaissance mission where you can check it out before you move there. We just arrived and I lived there. And he went straight to work on his first day. And I was there in a hotel thinking, oh my God, what have I done? I've quit my job. I have a mortgage. I'm dependent on a man, everything I've been taught not to be. But I had a plan and I stuck to my plan. My plan was, well, you've got to get a logo. You've got to get business cards made, website made. find materials, I look for an apartment, look for a studio. I really just stuck to my plan, and then it really snowballed from there, which is how I found out that there are no other Millinards on mainland China.
Well, I would also think that the timing of your starting your own business fit well with the rise of business and consumerism.
Yes,
in China. We were talking before the show began about how surprising this very acquisitive culture, at least
it
in
is.
The urban areas,
I would
speak.
I could never have known what from what I do now to what happened in 2007. I could have never seen that, the way it grew like a tree in all these different directions. Like now, I give etiquette classes. I give hat making workshops. I give talks. I fashion shows. It's just.
Well, what was your big break?
Well, there wasn't one big break. It was. It was just a slow progression, I suppose. First of all, I'm there. I make hats. That's how it starts. And then I would go to all these parties because although there might have been a financial downturn in the rest of the world, in China there was nothing visible. I mean, we would go to parties with free flowing Dom Pérignon all night long, and everything's fine. Nobody's you can't see anything. So I would go to these parties wearing the craziest hats I have, preferably the ones with the motorcycle or the lobster on my head.
Oh yeah, and describe some of these.
I've brought a box of hats with me to the studio today, which some people may think is ridiculous because I'm on radio, but I like to show people what I make because they're not, you don't think of a functional hat. It's not going to keep you warm in the winter or keep the sun out. These are fun party feathered hats with snowflakes and veil and feathers, and it's just they're fun. Think of Kentucky Derby, Royal Ascot, Melbourne Cup, these kind of royal wedding.
Ah, of course.
I would encourage, you were talking about England, but I wanted to encourage people that anyone who saw Prince William and Kate Middleton's wedding, how great did that wedding look? Not only was it a royal wedding, but why? Every single guest was wearing a hat. And so I'm trying to get the word out to people that if you want your wedding to look amazing, just say, you know what? I'd really like it if everybody wore a hat to my wedding. And voila.
And rent Westminster Abbey.
Yeah, well, doesn't have to be there. But I had my wedding at a time when I wasn't a hat maker. And I had, you have a kind of announcement. And all I said was, women in hats are appreciated. So it gives ladies the option, well, if you really don't want to, you don't have to, but you know the bride would really like it. So everyone came with a hat on. Everyone stopped on the street thinking it was some royal wedding. So
wow.
Makes great pictures.
You were starting to say that you took your hats to parties.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Thank you. I wore the craziest hats to parties in Beijing. And these were like, the opening of the new Armani store or who knows.
Which does not fit with many Westerners' perception of China. I have to say, I was so stunned.
That's a good point.
The elegance and the really expensive shops.
Yeah,
throughout
there are countless luxury malls. Too many. They're usually empty. To be honest, the only people there are the people that work there, and they're usually sleeping behind the counter. That's the sad truth of it. I can go into luxury real estate, but I won't because they all get given these spaces for free to make their malls more fancy. And then all the little guys in the second floor, they're the ones that are paying the rent. Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. But I would go to parties wearing the craziest hats. And, in general, the Chinese like to take pictures. Well, if you've got a Eiffel Tower on your head, then they're really going to start flashing. So it was all, who's that? Passed out all my new business cards that I had made. And I had about a 12-page in Harper's Bazaar within 6 months of being in China. I mean, my hats, not me, my hats.
This did not hurt, I imagine.
No, well, I thought, that's it. I've had it made. I've made it. My phone is going to ring off the hook. But it's interesting that you can have that kind of publicity and nothing happened. I was like, nothing happened. I shouldn't say that. I have amazing photographs that I can use, photography. But it just slowly progressed from there. More and more photo shoots, more and more photo shoots. Then Vogue comes around, covers. I don't even know how many covers I've had. Elle, Tatler, Cosmopolitan, Vogue, you see there, Bazaar. It just expanded so much, but that's press. That's one thing.
Well, it does give you a lot of credibility.
And then the movies came. Sorry, I didn't, there was some, and it's so unfortunate that if I mention these movies now, nobody would probably heard of them. But Yao Chen Wore My Hat and Fei Cheng Wu Wao Er, which was a, like, you know, four weddings and a funeral or so. It was a blockbuster, very huge, well-known movie in China. And also Li Bingbing and Zhou Shun Wore My Hats in Function, The Message in English, which again was a huge movie. But I can say that, but I hope maybe somebody's listening who might know these movies.
Are there misconceptions about hats and how they should be worn, when they should
yes.
be worn? Should you take them off when you
yes.
go into it?
There's the, you mean in China specifically?
Everywhere.
Well, yeah, since I started doing this hat etiquette classes, which I have to add, I started because somebody asked me to. I didn't think I would become the expert on hat etiquette. But I can tell you some incredibly fun hat rules. For example, you can't, if you're at a wedding, and of course you are wearing a hat at a wedding, as you should, you cannot take your hat off until the mother of the bride has taken her hat off.
Oh.
And if there's a wedding, the mother of the bride's hat should be slightly larger than the mother of the groom's hat.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew this?
I can go on, but there's a lot of these kind of, but it's more for entertainment. It's more for fun to talk about these things and have tea with hats and then say, by the way, did you know about, you know, you never show the inside of your hat because back in the day, a beggar might be begging on the street with the inside of his hat showing. So you always put your hat down so nobody sees the inside.
I'm talking with Elizabeth Koch, the milliner of Beijing, Atlanta-born at that.
Right.
We're listening to City Lights. After a short break, we'll be back. This is WABE Atlanta. Nice little touch there with the opening of Manuel de Falla's ballet, The Three-Cornered Hat. Yes, for you, Elizabeth.
I'm so
Our
happy.
Producer, Aaron Wright, chose that. And that actually reminds me of my first real hat moment. A transformative moment. My mom and I were in Spain when I was 16. And I tried on, I guess it would be called a flamenco hat, a black, you know, flat. Yeah. And I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. I mean, suddenly I just felt like this international person of importance and look at me and, you know, tilted a little bit and I wanted castanets immediately. Yeah. What are some of the expressions, some of the moments you've noticed when people have tried on your hats?
Well, I get a lot of people that say, oh, you know, I love your hats. You make great hats, but I don't wear hats. They don't suit me. I'm like, don't tell me that. I'll find a hat that'll suit you. And I think people don't know what it's like until they try. When you try, suddenly like, wow, you know, this is actually okay. Or they see how their whole body changes. You might stand straighter. You know, you wouldn't really slouch with the hat. It just doesn't go together. So you automatically put your head higher because of you're holding something on your head. So you automatically, your head, you know, your chin goes up, your shoulders
yes.
stand back. And I always say this also in my talks, like, try it on and see what happens when
yeah.
you wear a fancy hat. You're not going to start, you know, hide in the corner and, you know, slouch.
I especially love those sort of turn of the 20th century or late 19th century Parisian and Viennese ladies wore those tall, I guess I, I like the brims and the tall tops. Is there still interest in those?
To be honest, the hats that most people prefer are the fascinators, the ones on a hairband. Also, especially because people travel a lot for whatever event they're going to wear their hat to, if it's a horse race or a wedding. So they always ask, is it easy to transport? Is it easy to take in the plane, suitcase? So that plays a role. And the proper hats that you're mentioning with a crown and a brim, those are just less easy to transport.
Yeah, and I guess more costume.
And also when you're hugging people and you see people at an event, they're in the way. So
you didn't see that in those Renoir paintings. They weren't hugging. They were just posing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what inspires your designs? You mentioned an Eiffel Tower and a lobster.
Yes. You know, I'm inspired by everything. And one thing I actually wanted to say is the fact that I thought I'd go to China. And, you know, when I was in my course in the UK, everything's made in China. So I thought, that's great. I'll buy it there. And then I get there. And as you know, everything's made for export and it's not available in China. Like, I mean, specific hat making materials. So I was thinking, this is a disaster. There's no hat materials here. How can I become a hat maker in China?
Oh, even silk?
There is silk, but I need something stiffer than silk, different kinds of materials. So I found out later that this was the biggest blessing in disguise, because it's forced me to look at what can I use that's here in China for a hat. And that's how the temple and the lobster and those hats came about. I never would have made the hats that I make in China if I wasn't there. So it's really taken me on a roller coaster.
I read that when you moved there, you spoke no Chinese.
That's right.
And now?
Language barrier is a huge problem. I'm not fluent by any means, but you can drop me anywhere in China and I'll be fine and I can find my way home and I'll have a conversation with people. But
the Chinese like to speak English.
If they can.
Yes.
If they can, they definitely like to try, yes. But the people that can are very few. Very few, I would say. No offense, China.
Well, Stella McCartney.
Yes.
Has an Elizabeth Koch original. How
That's
did
right.
that happen?
Well, I met her in Beijing. She opened her first shop in Beijing at a beautiful mall called Parkview Green, and it's completely green and sustainable, and that's what Stella McCartney's all about. She's a big PETA. Is it PETA or PETA?
PETA.
Supporter. And so she chose this building especially and had a huge opening party. And I was lucky enough to be there and meet with her and talk to her and have pictures with her. And she has a lovely, quite a architectural piece of a hat.
Tell us more.
Well, it's made of an Italian hat braid. So hat braid is, if you see a straw hat, it's kind of like snail shell style sewn together. That's a whole different ballgame of making hats. And this is, so hat braid is like a straw that's braided together. And it's made of a coffee-colored brown. It's one of a kind. It's unique. So I only saw it then, and I've never seen it since. And what's interesting about this hat is you can wear it both ways, and it looks very different either way. It is a fascinator. It's on an elastic. It's hard to describe. It's quite large.
You didn't put a guitar on it in honor of her dad.
No, but
like
I love Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney. I'm huge fans.
Oh.
But
well, we are just about out of time. Time has flown. It has been such a pleasure, Elizabeth Koch. Do people say hats off to you a lot?
Actually, not that often.
All right. Well, I will
say. The tip of the hat sometimes.
It has just been a pleasure. My guest has been Elizabeth Koch. There will be more about her and her designs on our website later at wabe.org.